Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I am so happy you're here today. Honestly, I do not take lightly the fact that you could be spending your time anywhere else. And you are choosing to spend it with me listening to this podcast episode. You have no idea how much that means to me. And I just wanted to say thank you, first and foremost. If you regularly tune in to the podcast, I hope this episode sounds a little different for you. I recently had a podcast interview where my guests were recommending a particular microphone. And if you've been with me from the beginning, you know my whole office saga where things are very echoey despite everything I've tried, hiding under blankets, adding a carpet and wall decor that's supposed to be acoustically pleasing. We've tried it all. And I kind of just resigned to the fact that I was going to keep showing up imperfectly because you were continuing to listen. So as long as you're here listening, I promise I will keep showing up. But when I received this recommendation, I thought, what the hell? Let's try. And from my end, I feel super sexy. Things are sounding smooth. Let me know if you are hearing that too. Maybe it's all in my head, but either way, we're going to keep rolling because the show must go on, and I have what I think is a riveting topic to discuss with you today. And I chose this topic because I find it's popping up very frequently. In fact, it's popped up in two of my recent podcast interview episodes. And to be completely honest with you, when it's been raised in conversation, it's been raised in a way that I have disagreed with. And that's okay. I have made an intentional effort to surround myself with different voices, different opinions, different perspectives, because growing up, I was very much raised in this one thought process, this one belief system is the only right way. Everybody else is wrong. And that didn't serve me super well in several areas of life. So I have intentionally opened myself up to hearing multiple voices, hearing multiple perspectives, doing my own research, collecting my own data, and then arriving at an informed and educated decision rather than just believing whatever it is I'm reading or hearing to be truth without evaluating. So I'm not here to tell you that what I think and what I believe about this topic is right and everybody else is wrong. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to share some of the evidence-based research with you and sharing some of my opinion and anecdotal research, what I've seen in the lives of my coaching clients and what I've seen in my own life. And I want you to take this information and make your own decision. All right, I've teased you enough. What the hell is the topic already? The topic I want to talk to you about is blood sugar and hormones versus the calorie deficit debate. Now, what I mean by this is there is a camp of people who believe that if you're in a calorie deficit, consuming fewer calories than you're expending, you'll lose weight. Period. That's the bottom line. That's kind of the only thing that matters according to this group of people. And then there's a group of people on I don't want to say the opposite end of the spectrum, but it kind of feels like the opposite end of the spectrum. They're often disagreeing or engaging in conflict on the internet, at least. There's this group of people that says, no, it's not about calories. That's oversimplifying it. It's actually about hormones. So you can be in a caloric deficit, but if your hormones are out of whack or your blood sugar is out of whack, you won't lose weight. Who's right? That's what we are going to discuss today. So I put my researcher hat on and I did a little digging for us. You've heard me say before that when you take in more energy than you burn, you gain weight. That's called a caloric surplus. I'm eating more calories than I'm expending, ergo surplus, ergo weight gain. The inverse is also true. When you take in less energy than you burn, you lose weight. This is called a caloric deficit. This stands true. This is a fundamental law of thermodynamics, and it's a fundamental concept in body weight regulation that's about as close to scientific fact as we can possibly get. So before we go any further, I just want to make that abundantly clear. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about a caloric deficit. If I'm in a deficit, I will lose weight. If you think you're eating in a caloric deficit, but you're not losing weight, guess what? You're not in a caloric deficit. And that happens, and there's many reasons for that, of which we can dive into. But the law of thermodynamics apply. Now, I mentioned that at one end of the spectrum, there's this group who believes CECO, calories in, calories out, for an abbreviation, is pretty straightforward. So if you aren't losing weight, you're either eating too many calories, you're not moving enough, or it's a combination of both. Just eat less and move more. The other end of the spectrum believes that CECO is broken. And sometimes they even believe it's a complete myth, which we've already established that's not true. But these critics say that it doesn't account for hormone imbalances, insulin resistance, PCOS, and other health problems that affect metabolism. They often claim certain diets and foods provide a metabolic advantage and help you to lose weight without worrying about calories. I think I've shared this story before. It's been a long, long, long time at this point, but I once was at a health fair where I was demonstrating the difference in food volume comparatively to caloric intake. So I had a bunch of foods that totaled up to equal 100 calories. And I don't remember off the top of my head exactly what the quantities were, but it was a pretty powerful demonstration in terms of 1.5 tablespoons of peanut butter equals 100 calories, 7 peanut M&Ms equals 100 calories. That's not very much volume, right? If you give me 7 peanut M&Ms, I'm going to be like, okay, where's the rest? But I think something like 3 bell peppers equals 100 calories. And if we're just comparing volume, that's incredibly different. I was not there to say these foods are bad, these foods are good, just simply to illustrate food volume. And the woman who had a stand next to me, I can't remember what she was there to promote. I think it was some sort of massage therapy studio, but she was sitting there while we had a little break eating natural nut butter out of a jar with a stalk of celery. And she came over to me, just kind of looked at the table. We were standing side by side and she was like, oh, I don't believe in calories. Now at the time I was able to look at what she was eating. Yes, peanut butter is extremely calorically dense, but she was eating whole foods as a snack. And what I know is that when we eat primarily whole foods, it's much easier to stay within an appropriate calorie range than when we eat primarily processed, packaged, hyperpalatable foods. So whether or not she chose to believe in calories, she was managing them without knowing she was managing them because she chose mostly whole foods. That's neither here nor there. I'm simply saying that's one example that you might hear about on the internet. Now, eat less, move more. The CECO is straightforward. Calories in, calories out always matters, always works. It only takes into account the calories you eat and the calories you burn through exercise and other daily movement, like non-exercise activity. But CECO is really an informal way of expressing the energy balance equation, which is far more involved. So the energy balance equation, which encompasses calories in, calories out. Stay with me. I know I'm getting a little sciencey. It includes all the complex inner workings of the body, as well as external factors that impact calories in and calories out. So with this equation, what we eat, energy in, and what we burn, energy out, aren't just calories from food and exercise. All kinds of factors influence these two variables. So for example, energy in can be influenced by appetite. How hungry am I? By, of course, our food consumed, which is what SECO typically accounts for. Also calories absorbed. Not all calories we eat are absorbed by the body. And psychological factors like stress, mindset, sleep, etc. Energy out can be influenced by energy burned at rest. Literally, you're sitting on the couch watching Netflix, you're burning calories. Energy burned when exercising, which is what SECO accounts for. Energy burned with non-exercise activity, walking to and from the car, taking the garbage can to the end of the driveway, bringing it back in. And energy burned by metabolizing food, which again is not something that you hear a lot about. So all of that to say, even if you were able to accurately weigh and measure every single morsel of food you eat, you would have no idea the exact number of calories that you're consuming. Because there are so many other confounding factors. You might have an approximation, which for all intents and purposes, it's close enough, but you cannot know the exact number of calories in. Because like I mentioned, calories absorbed is one of the variables that impacts this. We don't absorb all of the calories we consume, and absorption rates vary across food types. So let me give you an example. We absorb more calories than estimated from fiber-rich foods and fewer calories than estimated from nuts and seeds. You don't need to know that. That's not particularly something that you can, it's not something at all that you can control, but that's what the research shows us. When we eat a fiber-rich food, we tend to absorb more. And when we eat nuts and seeds, we tend to absorb less. That's going to impact how many overall calories our body is taking in. We all absorb calories uniquely based on our individual gut bacteria. So if you take two people eating the exact same thing, they may not absorb those calories exactly the same. That's confusing. And then to convolute the issue even further, cooking, blending, or chopping food generally makes more calories available for absorption than might appear on a nutrition label. So we're getting into the weeds here a little bit, but if you are blending your food or chopping it up, you are then changing the nutritional composition of that food. It's minor, so not something I want you to think about on a daily basis. God, no, you have enough to think about. But it does change the number of calories available for absorption. This doesn't mean that SECO doesn't work. It doesn't mean that calories in, calories out is broken. It simply means that the tools we have to estimate calories in and calories out are extremely limited. I'm going to repeat this because it's worth repeating. If you or someone you know aren't losing weight, you either need to decrease energy in, eat less, or increase energy out, move more. But as I hope I've illustrated to you, that might involve more than just pushing away your plate, denying yourself food, or spending more time at the gym. Because getting better and more quality sleep, consistently engaging in stress management, increasing your non-exercise activity, changing the quality of food that you eat, and repairing any nutritional imbalances or deficiencies you might have can help. People don't gain weight because hormones. People gain weight because hormones are impacting energy balance. As an example, this happens during menopause or in individuals who are struggling with hypothyroidism. This doesn't negate SECO. Your hormones are simply influencing the energy being expended energy out in the SECO equation. Research suggests that people with mild to moderate hypothyroidism, and just to give you an idea, about 10 to 15% of the population struggles with mild hypothyroidism, and about 2 to 3% struggle with moderate hypothyroidism. But people who struggle with hypothyroidism may experience a metabolic slowdown of 140 to 360 calories a day. That's not a lot. That's a small meal or a snack quantity. However, that can be enough to lead to weight gain over time or make it harder to lose weight. So like I said, in the case of hypothyroidism, if your hormone levels are declining, you are not going to burn as many calories. Perhaps you're burning 140 to 360 fewer calories a day, but according to that online fitness calculator, you should be eating X number of calories a day. So you do that. And why the hell aren't you losing weight? That's so frustrating. It's because your body is navigating a hormone fluctuation that impacts the energy you burn. Another example, I mentioned this earlier on, but women who are struggling with polycystic ovarian syndrome or PCOS, this is about 5 to 10% of the population, and women going through menopause may also experience hormonal changes that disrupt energy balance. Once again, these individuals tend to expend fewer calories than what an otherwise healthy individual who is not going through menopause would expend, given that all other variables were the same. So it's important to understand your health status. That's going to give you valuable information about the unique challenges that you might be facing and how you should proceed. Bottom line, SECO matters. Calories in, calories out matters. It will always matter. Hormones also matter, but they don't trump or negate calories in, calories out. They simply can influence how many calories we're taking in. Again, not just from food that we're eating, but also things like absorption and appetite and energy out. So who's right? Who wins the debate? Hormones v. calorie deficit? The answer is both. Everyone. It's a tie. Calories in, calories out can't be disputed. However, it's not as simple as SECO advocates make it sound. Hormones can influence and impact how many calories we take in and how many calories we expend. I hope this helped to make a few fuzzy things slightly more clear, and maybe just reiterate some of the things that you already knew to be true. And I want to leave you with three tangible takeaways, because you know I love diving into the nutrition science, but at the end of the day, I want practical, no-nonsense nutrition to share with you that you can apply in your real life to start creating change today. The first takeaway that I want to share with you is to focus on maximizing protein and fiber, because this benefits both hormone optimization and makes it easier to stay in a caloric deficit and consume fewer calories. Why? Because protein and fiber are both super satiating. They keep us full. They fill us up. And they help us to have prolonged energy. So rather than a quick blood sugar spike from eating something like a simple carbohydrate, bowl of cereal, white bread product, etc., we have blood sugar that, of course, increases, as it does when we eat anything, right? Insulin is not the enemy, but it also is more sustained over time. Therefore, I feel more satiated over time, and I don't get that hunger crash and that ravenous craving or that ravenous appetite feeling I might get an hour after eating something with only carbohydrate. Most of us are not getting enough protein for optimal fat loss, especially if we're physically active, because then we need more protein to recover and repair from that physical activity on top of feeling satiated. And fiber, don't even get me started. Most of us are falling very short of our fiber goal. If you're wondering what specific targets to shoot for, I like to recommend 0.7 times your body weight if you're looking to maintain your weight, and 0.7 times your ideal body weight, so long as your ideal body weight is actually healthy for you, if you're looking to lose weight. So for example, let's say you're currently looking to maintain your weight at 170 pounds. You would take 0.7, multiply that by 170, and the number that you get is how many grams of protein you want to shoot for in a given day. If you currently weigh 230 pounds and you would like to get to 185 pounds, you would take 0.7 and multiply it by 185. What you get is how many grams of protein you want to shoot for most days. When it comes to fiber, it's a little bit more blanket statement because the recommended guidelines are around 25 grams a day. I see most people benefiting from between 25 and 30 grams of fiber a day, so long as there's not belly upset going on. Certain individuals struggle digesting that much fiber if things like IBS and other digestive issues are involved. So of course, this goes without saying, your nutrition should absolutely be individualized and customized. That's why I do what I do and why I believe so passionately about seeking out a professional who can help you cater your food behaviors and your eating habits to your body, your life, and your goals. But that's a conversation for another day. If you are looking to get that level of customization and make sure that your food behaviors are designed and built around your body and around your goals so that you can confidently sustain your results for the foreseeable future, I always have my coaching application link in the show notes below. Fill that out. We'll hop on a completely free, commitment-free discovery call and chat about your goals and whether we're a great fit. And if we're not, I'm happy to refer you to some colleagues who might feel like a better fit. That being said, number one is focusing on maximizing protein and fiber because chances are you're not getting enough. And we want to keep our body functioning optimally if fat loss is the goal. Number two, focus on adding more movement in versus taking calories out. I probably don't have to tell you that psychologically reducing food consumption kind of sucks. Nobody likes hearing that they need to eat less. We can certainly approach this in easier ways. For example, my team and I practice nutrition by addition. That means we're encouraging them to eat more of the things that they're not getting enough of. By default, they tend to reduce the things that maybe they're getting too much of without that being our focus. And that feels so much better. So there are tactics when it comes to taking calories out that can feel much more life-giving and sustainable versus just eat less, reduce your portion sizes, stop overeating. Like that's not super helpful advice, let's be real. But most of us underestimate the power of simply moving more. And I'm not talking about getting a gym membership or overcoming your gym anxiety. Both things I think can be super helpful because I love the benefits of strength training. However, I'm talking about non-exercise activity. The stuff you could be doing every day, but just aren't because it's not how you designed your life. For example, I know you fight for those closed parking spaces when you go to Costco and Target. You don't need to, because you taking the parking space all the way in the back of the parking lot and walking is increasing the number of calories you expend without you having to eat any less. Instead of going through the bank drive-through, instead of going through the McDonald's drive-through to get that Diet Coke, walk your ass inside. Instead of taking the elevator or escalator, can you find the staircase? Find small, seemingly insignificant ways to add non-exercise activity to your day. It accounts for up to 15% of your expenditure. That makes a big difference when you're comparing someone who has a sedentary job and whose hobbies are mostly sedentary, which let's be real, it's 2023, that's most of us, versus someone who finds ways to make our sedentary lifestyle slightly more active. And again, not even talking about intentional exercise or workouts. Focus on adding more in before you focus on taking out. That applies to food and movement. And last but not least, shift your perspective. Because there is a shit ton of research that shows when we feel restricted, when we feel deprived, when we feel like there's something wrong with our bodies and we're broken, we don't create results as successfully as people who believe they are capable and are confident that they will one day reach their goal and are choosing to create fat loss rather than feeling like they have to create fat loss. I want to share an example with you that I originally heard through Precision Nutrition, which is an online nutrition coaching company. The example went something like this, and I'm paraphrasing, but I want you to imagine that you're on vacation. Close your eyes, like pretend you are in your dream destination. You don't have to set an alarm. In fact, you don't even know where your phone is. So you sleep in and you miss breakfast, but you don't care because you're on vacation and you're relaxed and you're having a great time. And there's no reason to panic because lunch is right around the corner and it's going to be a delicious lunch. But because you skipped breakfast, you're ending the day several hundred calories less than what is normal for you, effectively creating a caloric deficit, right? And because you're in an environment where you're calm and you're happy and you're stress-free, you hardly even notice. Now I want you to imagine scenario two. It's a regular ass work day. You wake up to your alarm, press and snooze a couple of times, and because you have a weight loss goal, because maybe you're getting ready for that dream vacation, you think, ugh, I can't believe I only get to have my 400 calorie breakfast. This isn't enough food. This is the worst. I hate this. I'm going to be so hungry all day. So you head to work, feeling stressed, already counting down the minutes to the next time you can eat, whether it's a snack or a meal, and you feel deprived, unhappy, miserable. Here's the thing. The outcome of those 2 days is exactly the same. You're in a deficit. But your experience of those two different scenarios couldn't be more different. Which scenario do you think begets progress that feels good and behavior you feel confidently you can stick with? Ergo, results that last. Definitely the more positive, optimistic experience, right? And I'm not saying you have to be on vacation or have vacation vibes all the time because that's not realistic. I am saying we have to be vigilant about the thoughts that we think and the stories that we tell ourselves because our perspective can make a world of difference. I've heard people say that they can't be successful because their bodies are broken. There's something wrong with their hormones. When the reality is, there's nothing broken or wrong about them. But that's a story they've told themselves. And I'm not here to dismiss individuals who are struggling with menopause, with PCOS, with hypothyroidism. As I've discussed, those individuals do have to work harder when they have a fat loss goal because of the energy balance equation. But as long as you are following a prescribed treatment plan, you can be successful. And if you don't have to navigate any of those diagnoses, you can also be successful. But first, you have to shift your perspective from that fixed mindset of, I can't be successful. I'll never get this. I have to be super strict in order to see any progress, to one of a growth mindset that says, I might not have been able to figure it out yet, but you know what? I have a lot of feedback about what doesn't work, and I'm 10 steps closer to reaching the results that I want. And I know that with the right tools and the right skills and the right support system in my corner, I will be successful. So friends, that's your homework today. Assess your protein and your fiber consumption. Are you eating enough? Assess your non-exercise activity. Could you be moving more rather than eating less? And last but not least, make sure you're not self-sabotaging with a negative, fixed, I can't do this mindset. If you need a little help with the energy balance equation in your life so you can create sustainable fat loss, and or you need help shifting your mindset from one that serves as a big barrier to the results you want to create to one that helps you create the results you want to create, send me a DM, fill out a coaching application, and let's chat. Catch you on the flip side, squad.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.